Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you have joined the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. This platform is dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. Once again, you're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, and you're changing the lives of people and, of course, the world. We celebrate you each and every day. Thank you very much for jumping on board the Industrial Talk train. We're going to continue our series in Heroes of Manufacturing because we have to celebrate those wonderful people because they sacrificed during this whole, COVID world we live in. We want to give a hearty thank you to those wonderful women and men who just make our lives better. So let's get going. Okay, on this interview, we've got a gentleman by the name of Ben Bell. He is the Vice President of Engineering and Production with Hitachi Cable Americas. And again, this was such a fascinating interview because they talk about surgical tubing. They manufacture surgical tubing. That is a critical and needed manufacturing process that could not shut down because it is needed because people still get sick, injured, whatever it might be, and they need the ability to be able to have tubing, surgical tubing, available for them in whatever they, to get better. That's about the long and the short of it. So Ben brings that doggone truth bombs associated with that and thanks a lot of the individuals that were, that made them continue to produce high quality surgical tubing, which is very important. And of course, once again, I get it all down to people. Manufacturing is people. Sure. It's extruders, it's conveyor belts, it's the processes. But behind everything like that and the creation of are people. And we celebrate them on the Heroes of Manufacturing movement. And you said, Scott, how do I get involved? Because I like what you're saying. You just go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com and you say, I want to get involved. And you enter in your name and email and you know what's going to happen? I'm going to talk to you, and let's talk a little bit about how you can get involved, how you can support the movement, and anything else. If you have people that you want to nominate because they're just spectacular, well, go out to heroesofmanufacturing.com. Now, you say, okay, Scott, can I get it out on industrialtalk.com? Yeah, you can get it out on industrialtalk.com. You can find it on Ben and everybody else's podcasts, video, all the contact information you need to get involved. And I highly recommend that you get involved. Okay, onward with the interview. You just get involved, okay? Onward with the interview. Ben Bell is the gentleman, Vice President of Engineering and Production at, it's a division of Hitachi Cable America and High Performance Medical Solutions. And when we were just chit-chatting, when we were talking, when we were having this conversation, I was just, again, I'm always amazed at just manufacturing in general of how they provide products to make our lives better, and we don't even know about it. I didn't even know about surgical tubing. I didn't. And then, of course, my wheels start churning along, and I'm thinking to myself, there's got to be a lot of engineering involved in that. Yeah, there is. And it can't be just like a garden hose. No, these are highly sophisticated tubing solutions to make our lives better. Yep. High Performance Medical Solutions, a division of Hitachi Cable American. The gentleman's name is Ben Bell. He is the Vice President of Engineering, and we're going to get on into that interview. So enjoy. Hey, Ben, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am so glad that you made time in your busy schedule to talk to our listeners about the challenges that are taking place in manufacturing. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Scott?
Really well. Thank you very much for asking. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Absolutely. So for the listeners, Ben, give us a little background, and then we're going to talk a little bit about manufacturing. Okay, background into who you are and why you're such an incredible professional, and then boom, we're going to go into the conversation.
Sure. So I'm the Executive Vice President at High Performance Medical Solutions, a division of Hitachi. We make medical tubing and assemblies for the medical device industry, so a lot of catheters and different tubings that would go into medical devices. So we do all custom manufacturing for a lot of our customers.
You know, it's interesting. I when we had this conversation prior to this particular podcast, I didn't realize how tubing is so necessary.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah,
you think of all the different places in the body where something can go wrong. You're going to need a device that's going to get there. And more times than not, it's a catheter or a tubing that's going to get there, whether it be a scope or a tube that's going to go into a vein or down an endoscope or whatever. Lots of tubes for a lot of different applications.
And just for my interest, it doesn't just stop. You have some level of innovation that goes along with that. The tube is a tube, you know, me being a neophyte or whatever, I just see a tube, but there's some sophistication that goes into these, the manufacturing and design of these tubes.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, especially when, thankfully, we try and make the smallest device to go into the patients. But a lot of times that becomes more and more challenging where you make it smaller and smaller and smaller. So some of the tolerances associated with the products that we make are a fraction of a human hair. So not a lot of room for error. So very, very fine tolerance.
But is it because you have the ability to be able to go into places that you normally didn't because technology is available, that's one. But two, I would imagine a level of comfort that goes along with the ability to be able to manufacture these tubes in the right size.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of skill that goes along with it too. I mean, there's advances in equipment, there's advances in materials, but there's also a lot of expertise that goes along with the engineering and making the products that we make for our customers.
See, that just fascinates the heck out of me. But yeah, I have never, and as I've done many of these podcasts, I've always leave just appreciative of people and what they do and the manufacturing that goes on, because you're providing something that is so necessary. And I would imagine you were deemed a critical component during this particular pandemic and beyond. Of course you're critical, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we haven't really skipped a beat from a manufacturing standpoint for that reason, being critical in manufacturing. I mean, there are certainly, you know, people don't stop getting sick, but there's certainly been trends since the pandemic that some cases aren't happening because doctors want to delay doing what they're considering non-critical or non-life-threatening types of procedures. But there's been the opposite of that, where there's been other procedures that are happening more and more as a result of it. So we make quite a few components that are directly going to go into treating some of the patients with that.
See, that fascinates me. So what you saw, maybe part of your business wane a little bit because they're more, quote, elective, for lack of a better term, to where there's an increase in more criticality of how you're applying your product in whatever case it is.
Yeah, and it's really helping a lot of our customers that are, you know, trying to find suppliers that can respond to that, because not everybody can. So we've had customers that have been seeing these new opportunities because there's such a higher demand or a newer demand for some of the devices that they were already manufacturing, and to try and be able to respond and be nimble has been a challenge for our customers. It's been a challenge for us, but I think we've done a really good job of that, collaborating both with our customers as well as our suppliers, because it doesn't just start and stop with us and our customer. We also have to make sure that our suppliers are staying in tune with the increase in demand. So it's not just unique to our business. It's our customers and our suppliers that are also having to navigate through some of these challenges.
Yeah, it's definitely global, that's for sure. Absolutely. And it's impacted everybody.
Absolutely.
So if you feel like you're being picked on by anybody here, you're not, because it's pretty much equal opportunity.
We're not special.
Not even one bit.
Right.
But that's interesting, because you're manufacturing, and then you touched upon something that was in you still have to bring in feedstock. You have to bring in stuff to be able to manufacture that finished good.
Yeah.
And what I like, the fact that you brought up a really important component, and that's collaboration.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never, there's two things that I want to make sure that I point out, but one, we've never been through anything like this.
No.
It might've been regional, you know, like, hey, here comes a storm and it, you know, here in Louisiana, it happens, but it's regional. This was like a switch globally. And how do you pivot? How do you do that? And then I like the fact that you brought up the ability to adapt, to be nimble. Sure. In this case, you just have to. Did you get your management team around and saying, okay, here it is. This is what we got. What do we do? How do we proceed forward?
As far as handling the COVID situation and maintain our business, well, we essentially sat around a table because we knew that, you know, that certain states were going to be mandating certain types of, you know, shutdowns or whether it's critical manufacturing or not. So as a senior management team, we kind of had a huddle and went around one at a time and said, all right, we want to get as many people out of the building as we can, but we still have to keep the lights on. We still have to keep the lines going, and just kind of identified what we thought roles were suitable to work remotely and what roles weren't suitable. And we just put a plan in action and sent certain people home, sent them home with computers, laptops, desktops, webcams and microphones, and, you know, the dawn of the new age of, you know, Microsoft Teams meetings popping up and communicating and doing our day-to-day operations. You know, there were a couple hiccups, you know, along the way, but I can't imagine having gotten through the past couple of months with those types of technologies at our disposal.
It's amazing. And what I like is the fact that you guys, and you're one of many, but how quickly you can shift your mindset, your manufacture. You have certain things that you do each and every day, and you have obligations, and it's very process oriented.
Absolutely.
And that is the reason for that is obvious, but there's a quality that a QC component of that too as well. Absolutely. But you're able to adjust. And how did the your talent deal with the change? Because they normally come in, go to work, here it is, this is what I do, I chit chat, I go over here, there's a life. How did they adjust to that?
I mean, I think when we initially kind of set our plan in place to say, all right, you know, these people or these groups of people are gonna, you know, pick up their office and take it and create a home office, and then, you know, all the people in the facilities that were remaining, all the production staff, engineering staff, facility staff, our machine shop, everybody kind of stayed and just kind of kept going like they were. And it wasn't like we didn't skip a beat or anything. There was certainly some anxieties in the beginning. People were worried, like, well, why aren't we shutting down the entire facility? Why isn't everybody going home? Like,
right.
I'm going to re-explain the importance of what we're doing. We're not, you know, we're not making car parts, you know, not that those aren't important as well. You know, we're making medical devices. People are still going to get sick, whether it's COVID or a heart attack or whatever. You know, they still need the components that we make. These cases are still going to happen. So there was, you know, some adjusting, and people were like, well, I don't know if I want to stand that close to somebody, you know, and as soon as somebody sneezed or coughed, everybody, you know, automatically assumes that there's something wrong with it. It's like, people are still going to have a scratchy throat once in a while. It doesn't mean that they're infected, you know, but obviously we put in place, you know, people wearing the mask. We, you know, we wind up having to make our own hand sanitizer. You know, there's all kinds of guidelines online to do that. We've staffed up additional, you know, housekeeping people to go around and making sure that we're doing all the touch points of doorknobs and anywhere that people are going to actually have in common areas, you know, spreading people out during their break so that they're not congregating at one table and having, you know, a close conversation at a table. So all those types of rules and guidelines and reminders of how we have to have a little bit different behavior in the workplace for a little while. You know, as much as we wanted to, you know, show appreciation, at one point I went out and got cookies to say, hey, thanks for coming in. You know, we know that it's stressful. And I said, well, maybe we don't want people putting all their hands in the same cookie jar. So we kind of held off. It's like you just have to think of things differently.
You do.
With what we're going through. But I think people in fairly short order, you know, started to get used to it. You know, not that there still wasn't some stress associated with, well, my kids are home now and I got to worry about who's going to be teaching them at home with all the remote learning. But I think it got better over time. And then as we, you know, we were talking about some of the customers that saw this huge influx of demand for their products that we're already making, we kind of communicated that to the floor to say, hey, you know, you're going to see a lot more of these products than what we've been making in the past, because they're going to be used for COVID-19 patients. And I think that was one of the sparks or triggers for our staff to say, what we're doing, we already know it's important because we're making medical components, but I think it really resonated with the people that when, you know, you're dealing with the stresses and the anxieties of living through this and working through this and not self-quarantining through this entire process like other companies have, or when they realize that they're making products that are actually going to help get through what we're all trying to live through, I think they rallied behind it. And I think it was a really cool moment for me to kind of see everybody.
I like that.
Aha moment.
I like that a lot, just because they're doing incredible work.
Yeah.
And many of manufacturers out there are just doing, they're just sort of the behind the scenes. Like for me, when we had this conversation, what you were telling me, it's like, yeah, that's right. I don't think about it every day. In fact, I never really think about it unless I'm going in for a procedure, which I don't go in for. So I don't, but people need that.
Yep.
And it needs to continue. And there needs to be laser beam focus, because let's put it out there. People's lives are in need of that.
Absolutely.
And that is just a fabulous story. Yep. Now, see, what also is interesting to me is, like, we're social beings. You know, manufacturing's people. Right. And it's that conversation of, hey, we played baseball and we did this, and this is a community. And in your manufacturing world is a community of people and who relate and are friends.
Yeah.
That has got to be just a bit of a challenge, because now you're separating. They don't sit down and say, hey, what are you eating? And all just the things we take for granted.
Yeah. And most of the people at our facilities here in Rhode Island, Connecticut area are all from kind of neighboring and surrounding towns. So people that they've known in a lot of cases, you know, went to high school with, or their relatives with people that they work with. And now they're seeing people that have been in the office every day for forever are now working remotely. So I think that was another kind of cultural adjustment. Yes. That you're not seeing the people that have been around you. And that's not just us. That's everybody too. You can't, you know, go out into public and see the person. Half the time you don't know it's them because they got a mask on their face. But, you know, the other half of the time, they're probably not going out because they're too worried about coming in contact with somebody that might be sick. So that's been, an adjustment for folks too, is to people that they're used to. You know, we had some of the office personnel start to come back to the workplace this week. And for me, it's given me a bounce in my step to see some of the people that I've gotten used to working with. And I actually have been like, I missed you guys. It's great. I liked working from home in my pajamas. I'm like, I don't care about you working in your pajamas. I'm glad to have you back in the workplace. It's good to see the people in the office. And I was a little bit worried that some of them would come back with some stress and anxiety because they haven't had to work with a mask on their face all day long like we have. You know, just the first couple of days, it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's like they never left. You know, people are still, there's still a little bit of hesitation. You see a little bit more, you know, offices with closed doors. But it's, I think people in general are glad to be back and get back to whatever the new normal is.
Whatever it is, right? It's like, even for me, it was a pleasure to be able to just sort of step out and go to the gym. We go to the gym. We can. We still, you know, everybody's sort of got this 6-foot, you know, barrier around them, but it's still the fact that she's like, all right, thank God I'm doing something that's somewhat normal.
Yeah. This past week they started opening up like barbers and hair salons and things like that. I got my hair cut for the first time in 3 months, and it felt so good to sit down somewhere in public and be treated normal again. You know, you still had to wear a mask, so that was weird, getting your hair cut with a mask and then having to, you know, use the comb to hook the loop off of your ear so they could trim around your ear.
Wow.
But it's the same. It was nice to be out and sitting down in public and having a conversation with somebody outside of your house.
Yeah, that's great. You need to just be bald like me, and the sink is just an incredible barber. Yeah, I just pretty much gave up after a while. I was like, yeah, whatever, I'm done. You know. So who in your organization or anybody, who do you want to thank? Who's your manufacturing hero?
I don't have one hero. I think if I want to thank somebody, it's going to be everybody that stayed working, you know, over the past few months. I think it's been emotionally taxing for a lot of folks to come to work and continue to kind of stay on the line and keep the product going. So I think all of my production staff, all of my engineering staff, all of my facilities staff, our shipping and receiving, so we could get our raw materials in and get our finished product out to our customers on ultimately patients, all those folks that, you know, didn't necessarily have the choice or could have elected to stay home, but decided to come in, you know, in spite of all the stress and in spite of all the anxieties that they have with watching the news and hearing about all the terrible things that are going on in our world. They still came here every day and made the products for our customers.
Just powered on through, and you just do it. And I have to express my appreciation for you and your team, the people at your organization, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for what you guys are doing. I really appreciate that. And not just me, a lot of people, I guarantee you, although they're silent, they appreciate it too as well.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, let me ask you this. Are you active out on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn. I'm not super active.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to have all the links and contacts that are available to get a hold of you at the Industrial Talk Podcast website. So that's one thing. Okay. Thank you, Ben, for being on the Industrial Talk Podcast. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott. It was fun.
All right. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. You listeners, so you know what to do. Do not go away. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you very much for jumping on board the old Industrial Talk train and taking a journey down the road of heroes of manufacturing with Ben Bell. And once again, he's the Vice President of Engineering and Production at Hitachi Cable Americas. Talk about a knowledgeable guy, and talk about the wonderful people in that manufacturing process. Thank you from my heart and the many that are part of this coalition of supporting and just lifting up the heroes of manufacturing. We give a hearty thank you for what you do in making our lives better. Okay, to get involved, paper and pencil. You really don't need to, but heroesofmanufacturing.com is the location where you start. You say, I want to participate. There is a form to fill out. All it is, it's like first name, last name, and email. And you know who you're going to talk to? You're going to talk to me. And then we're going to have a chat and see what we can do to celebrate your people of manufacturing, celebrate your company for what you do, and celebrate anybody else that you think that needs to have the light of just thank you shined upon them. So once again, heroofmanufacturing.com. And also you can go out to industrialtalk.com and find all the links there. You'll be talking to me, this gorgeous face. No, it's not. Thank you very much. Take care. We'll be back later.